we can be here tonight. And we ask, Lord, that as you speak to us, and as you lead us, and as you guide us, that we will feel your Holy Spirit working in us to equip us to be the people you want us to be. We live in a society in which the established religion is mocked, and there are good reasons for that. But help us to grow to be the people that are respected in our workplaces, in our social settings, and in our families. We ask that you'll find us not only obedient to what you have to teach us, but receptive to where you lead us. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Sight is one of those most magical and beautiful senses that we have. It works in this way that when I'm going somewhere, I can see ahead of me, and it helps me work out a path that I may walk, the dangers that I may see. It helps me to identify the good things and the negative things. It's a great bonus. Sometimes in the morning, my sight is not a good bonus. Like when I get up there and I look at my face and I've got bags under my eyes, I haven't shaved for 3 days, I think to myself, what a wonderful world it is. But the most best thing about eyesight is when you check out someone from the opposite sex. Like when you stand at the end of the aisle and you look down, for those of us who have been married blokes, and there is the most beautifulest person that you've ever seen in the world. Your wife, I hope, not someone just walking in. But usually when we do youth talks on this, they go, guys usually say, we can't help seeing. And that draws us to them. You see, sight is a very powerful thing. But it also tells me something else. Sight is linked into our emotions. You very rarely look at something and have no response. You usually will have some sort of response. I used to love the cartoons. I don't watch them anymore. I'm more mature than that now. I used to love the cartoons, and you see the little animals or the people going around, and you just see the eyes go roo, roo, like that. And I used to love that, because it is an expressive illustration of how something inside the illustrator responds to what they're seeing. There is a connection between sight and emotions. And we see that in this passage tonight. We reflect on the personal response that Jesus has when he sees the crowds. And the question that we ask ourselves is, do we see people the same way? Even though the gospel in Matthew is written for a Jewish audience and the focus is specifically on lost Jews, there are some key comments and observations that is made in these verses that help us to ask some significant questions that we have when we see non-Christians. We see Jesus is out and about. Let's say Jesus came to Tuggeranong. And let's pretend that the Salvation Army Citadel is the local Jewish synagogue. So Jesus rocks into Tuggeranong and goes, I'm going to go to the family first. So he rocks up to the synagogue, he speaks there, and then he comes outside and just sits in the gutter and says, I think all the people will come to me. Actually, what we see him in the previous couple of chapters of Matthew is, yes, he goes to the synagogue, but then he's out and about in the countryside. So he says, oh, I think we might go down to Lanyon. I wonder what's down there. So he trots down to Lanyon and says, oh, there's a whole lot of people down there. So he talks to them. He comes back up and then he goes, oh, let's go to Isabella. Trots out to Isabella and says, that's an interesting lot of people out there. I'll speak to them as well. And so he goes around. Jesus is out and about. He's not waiting for the people to come to him. He's going about greeting them, healing them, and sharing the good news of eternal hope. And then, in verse 36, we see Jesus opening himself up to the crowds. And even more importantly, we see Matthew recording the expressions and the experiences of Jesus. Tasker writes this about the words of Jesus. The crowds are like sheep, worried by dogs. They're flying on the ground, unable to exert themselves. Now, that's not actually what you have in your scriptures, but I think if you've ever been out in the country and you know what happens to sheep, it is a very apt description. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus' response to when he looks out on the crowd is that he had a deep connection to them at a spiritual level. The connection was they were helpless and harassed. It's a great phrase, isn't it? They were helpless and harassed, like sheep without a shepherd. Yes, he's talking to the Jews. It's a reflection back because the Jewish leaders hadn't shepherded the sheep as God wanted them to. It's that picture of where Moses speaks with God, asking God to appoint a shepherd in Numbers 27, so that, as Moses says, the Lord's people will be not like sheep without a shepherd. It's also a comparison with Jesus himself in John chapter 10, where he talks about himself as the good shepherd. So it's talking about this significance of the care of the sheep. And we know in Matthew 18 that he talks about, I'll just leave the 99 by themselves and I'll go out and I'll search for the one. When he looked, he was moved with compassion. Think about it. When was the last time you were moved with compassion? When did it grip you so much that it was like having a belly rumble feeling in your stomach? When was the last time you looked at people and had compassion on them? We ultimately know that Jesus' compassion for all people was when he went to the cross to be the sacrifice for our sins, so that through his sacrifice we can be restored in relationship with Jesus. That was his ultimate act of compassion. But here he says, people, look, they are helpless, they are harassed, and there's no one to guide them. And then he turns to his disciples and says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He looks out at all the people around him and says to his disciples, they're plentiful, we are few. Jesus is putting out a recruitment campaign for disciples. There's some debate about this word workers in verse 38. Some are saying that they are specialised missionaries, only the creme de la creme. Others are saying it's only those who are gifted in being able to share the gospel. And so there's this debate going on. What did Jesus actually mean by the workers? Well, friends, I think the answer to that question is very simple. The workers are us. The workers are everyone who comes into the kingdom of God through Christ, because we are Christ's ambassadors. We are the spokespeople for God. We are the representatives of God in the communities that we do life with. Friends, I think when it comes to looking at people, there are a few things that we need to grab hold of. And one of the things is this, that you are one of the workers. It's not something we can shift to someone else. It is our responsibility. We're part of the game. We're on the field. And we'll learn that over the next couple of weeks. Secondly, when I used to go to new towns, I used to sit in the local shopping centre on a bench and I just look at all the people pass me by. And I just play, wonder what they're going through today. And you look at mothers harassed with children, you go, okay, that's pretty clear. You look at fathers, they're racing around as well, and you'd play, guess what they're doing. You'd also might play, guess what their profession is as well. But then it struck me, instead of playing, guess who they are, guess what's happening, guess what their profession is, am I looking at them as people as harassed and helpless as sheep without a shepherd? Am I looking at them as people who are spiritually lost, as Jesus did? Am I looking at them from an internal perspective and thinking about them that they're not just lost spiritually now, but unless their state changes, they will be lost eternally, forever? Can you imagine being in hell forever? Can you imagine having no real experience of God? No real experience of his love, no real experience of fellowship with him, no real experience of community, no real experience of light and love and so on and so forth. You see, it's very hard to comprehend that, isn't it? Very hard to comprehend that. But I think that's a challenge we need to think about. What is the end of people we know who don't believe in Christ yet? And do we look upon them as people who are lost? Friends, I'm going to ask a really, make a really heavy observation here, and it's to provoke you. And I don't do it judgmentally, but I think sometimes, unless things are said very bluntly, we don't get provoked enough. And so I'm going to provoke you in this way. We Christians love God, we seek to be obedient, and we seek to glorify him. When you look at people in community, are you looking at them as a harvest worker or a passive onlooker? Are you looking at them as a harvest worker or a passive onlooker? You see, if you look upon them as a harvest worker, you are being obedient to Christ and seeking to glorify him. And here comes the provoking bit. If you are a passive onlooker, it effectively means that you do not care and you have no compassion on them. Can you see the big difference between the two? You are either seeing them as Jesus sees them, or reality tells us we don't care. Now that doesn't mean we go out and we just share the gospel with everyone, but it's a hard attitude that we need to look at ourselves. Because I think, and I'm happy to have this discussion, that subtly we think everyone is okay. And somehow they're going to know about God in whatever way, instead of being active about it. You see, if we say to ourselves in our hearts, people in my community which I know who aren't Christians, they are lost, and God has placed me here to be able to live and to share the good news of Christ with them, we either want to seek Jesus' approval or we want their popularity and their friendship. Because that's the choice we have. We either seek to glorify Christ and seek his approval, or we seek their popularity and their friendship more. Sounds confronting, doesn't it? But I think we need to start realistically thinking, where do I sit in my heart? Because until the heart changes, everything else won't change. Unless the heart changes, we won't see a need to be strengthened and encouraged to stand for the gospel. We won't seek the need to have opportunities for the gospel. We won't seek the need for a lot of things. So you need to ask the Spirit this. If I was standing next to Jesus and looking out on the crowds and the community that I do with, the people I do community with, do I have the same heart and eyes as Jesus? Or not? Let's pray. Our Lord and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that Jesus looked on the crowds as harassed and helpless. But Lord, help us to ask this significant question about ourselves. If we were standing next to Christ, looking upon the community that you have called us to do life with, would we be looking at them with the same eyes and the same heart as Jesus does? Lord, speak to us through your Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.